All right. Good evening, Claire. Good evening. Well, it's another good time to go through another lesson class. I'm going to rehearse a little bit of what we did last couple of sessions. The last couple of sessions, we talked about rebellion, but we talked about individual rebellion. We were dealing with Moses being rebelled by Miriam and her brother Aaron. I call it individual rebellion because there wasn't a whole company of people that were coming against Moses. And God handled that a certain way. Notice it was more of a dealing with family and leadership, and they couldn't recognize or couldn't distinguish the authority that Moses had in him being a younger brother to him and to Aaron and Miriam. So the case was, they thought they didn't have to submit to him, being family members. But they never recognized the authority of God that was upon Moses. And Miriam fell leprosy, and God had to deal with her. For 7 days, she held the whole tribe of Israel back because God had to deal with the rebellion in the camp. And remember that we talked about also that rebellion does not stop the hand of God, or it doesn't prevent the work of God. Sometimes it slows it down, and sometimes it don't cause God to do things like he preferred doing it, but his will always gets done. God removed a lot of people that had been rebellious in the past. It wasn't his choice, but God's not going to let anyone or anything stand in his way of accomplishing his will in earth. So without further ado, we're going to talk about today the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And this goes a little bit further, and it's a little bit different class, because here we're going to deal with rebellion on a more of a, it's another level, I call it, because it's not dealing with individual, it dealing with a whole company of people. Sometimes your rebellion can lead to other people getting involved in it. And that's not good. When you get other people involved, then God got to judge everyone. It's not a good thing. And so we're going to deal with that, how Moses handled the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And so we're going to see that this is a very important subject, Claire, that we're dealing with. Now, I got a question here. And my question is to you, class, is why do you think we spend so much time on the subject of rebellion? Well, one of the reasons why we spend so much time on it, because Apostle has brought us into another realm of the apostolic. And the apostolic government is God's ways of doing things within the earth that the church long got away from. And this apostolic government brings us back to the place of the New Testament church, or rather the book of Acts. God's ways of doing things according to the book of Acts. So we must understand that the apostolic government must be maintained through the understanding of authority and submission. And one of the reasons is that because God can't get the will done if we don't believe in what government is leading us to do. And sometimes you got to put what you've learned on the side. Sometimes you put tradition away. Sometimes you put wrong thinking away, and to be able to submit properly to what God is doing. And it takes change, class. You got to change your way of thinking when it comes to submission. And if you follow me through these next couple of classes, we're going to find out that God dealt with a man called David. You know, we dealt with Saul. Saul rebelled against God. And God had to dethrone him from the government that he was standing in as king. But God had to rise up another king, a man after his own heart. So let's go back to dealing with Dothan, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now, we're going to call this collective rebellion, what they're about to bring into the lives of other people. These three men were leaders in the tribe of Israel, and we're going to find out that it's a dangerous thing. We don't understand authority, and it's a dangerous thing when you bring so many other people in with you, with your rebellious thoughts and ideas. Now, the last two chapters, we discussed individual rebellion and how God dealt with it. And here's an instance of collective rebellion. It's recorded in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers here. We're going to deal with it. It's a lot of reading. You got 50 verses in this chapter here. In class, I'm not going to read them all. You're going to have to read them because I've read them many, many, many times. But to get a full understanding of everything that transpired with these three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, it's good reading to see everything they dealt with and how they felt about Moses, and they didn't connect Moses with God. And rebellion never connects authority with God, because people think they're right in their own eyes, and they want to individualize God to the point where they can hear God for themselves. But once you place under authority, God holds you accountable for respecting and submitting to that authority. And which no one, especially these days, no one wants to walk in the spirit of obedience, because everybody knows nowadays. And remember, we talked about that class about knowledge and how it takes and try to strip you from submission. So we're going to deal with this instance of rebellion over here in this 16th chapter of Numbers here. Now, we're going to find out these two groups of people here that we're going to deal with. Well, the Korah group and Dathan and Abiram group. Korah and his company belonged to the Levitical tribe, the Levites. Therefore, they represented the spiritual one. They're the one that God used, and God set them apart from the rest of the tribe. There were 12 tribes, but God set them apart. Matter of fact, this Levitical tribe was the tribe within itself. Well, what am I saying? God took care of them. Matter of fact, when Moses, or rather Joshua, began to separate the inheritance among the children of Israel, the Levitical tribe got no land. Because they said God was their inheritance. But nevertheless, God gave them everything they needed. And so they were counted as a special group before God, because they ministered unto the Father, unto God. And so they were considered the spiritual one. God took care of them personally. Matter of fact, every time the sacrifice was offered, there was a certain portion of the sacrifice that went to the Levitical tribe, certain portion of the bread, certain portion of the animals that was sacrificed for food and for their well-being. And they were well taken care of by God. So it wasn't wrong for them to say that they ministered to the Lord, but God always had leadership among them. And God had Moses as their leader. And you got to recognize, even though you're serving And even though you have a personal relationship with God, God still have to put you under a covering so he can keep his plan under the same authority. You ever heard those statements, class? Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. No, you can't have all the leaders. You can't have all these leaders. God deal with a one-man government. God always did. And sometimes people are afraid, you know, to give people too much authority. But you got to recognize this authority comes from God. And God judges authority. God judges his authority. And so what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to explain this class where we can understand the separation here between the Levites and Moses. Even though they were considered spiritual, yet their authority never was supposed to rise above the authority of Moses. Even though you may serve in your ministry as a spiritual leader, but yet your authority never rises above the authority of your pastor or your spiritual leader. No, you delegate authority unto him or her. And even though he's a delegate authority to God, you become a delegate authority unto him. So the Leviticus tribe and even Dathan and Abiram, all those leaders were functioning as delegate authority, and they were supposed to be submitted to the hand and the leadership of Moses. So Dathan and Abiram were the sons of Reuben, and so they stood for the leading one. They kind of dealt with the authority of handling a lot of assignments that Moses would give them, and they would be captains over 100, captains over thousands, and captains over 10,000. And God put them in authority, but yet there was one man authority, and that was Moses. I say all that to get us kind of brought up to a lesson so we can see where we're going with this. And so all these, together with 250 leaders of the congregation, assembled to rebel against Moses and Aaron. Now we see we're in the 16th chapter. These men, they gathered together and they rebelled against Moses and against Aaron. They arbitrarily attacked the two, saying, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Jehovah is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourself above the assembly of Jehovah." And that's verse 3. And you got in the 16th chapter. And you got to see and understand this, that Moses' authority came from God. But sometimes people confuse leadership sometimes people think you're going too far in leadership. And that's what these 250 people got together against Moses, because they say, "Moses, you're going too far now. You're taking too much authority upon yourself. And we're holy, we can judge them things. And by the way it looks, you're not leading us the right way." And so sometimes people gather themselves together and don't know, it seems like the man of God or the spiritual leader whom God has chosen is taking these things upon himself. Because when he speaks, it sounds like it's coming from him. But no, it's coming from God. And he has to be respected as though it's coming from God. But if you can only see the flesh, if you can only see the human side, if you can only see what you see with your physical eyes, then you'll never be submitted to authority. And we said earlier that authority is a revelation from God. It's a revelation out of the mind of God that you have to catch. And it can't be taught. You have to get it by revelation, that when God speaks to a man of God, when God speaks to a spiritual leader, He speaks directly to them, and he speaks out of the leading from the Lord. And though it may seem like it's coming from him, I'm repeating myself, Glenn. Though it may seem like it's coming from him, we have to recognize that that's God speaking. It takes a revelation, because you got to get beyond flesh. You got to get beyond what your human reasoning thinks. See, we as human, we have a tendency of reasoning everything. And all that came from the fall of Adam and Eve, the principle of good and evil, where we go into the place of reasoning instead of obeying and submitting. And class, this is so important, because in this apostolic government, there's no time for reasoning. There's no time to try to figure what God wants out, what wants done. And so the church has to get in a hurry and learn to submit and learn to trust your spiritual leader. And if there's any judgment to be done, God's going to do the judging. And so you have to understand, this revelation that God is trying to get us to understand when it comes to this spiritual authority. Now, class, 250 people is a pretty large group, and that's why we call it collective rebellion, because they were inspired by a smaller group. These three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, these three men took upon themselves to take the leadership into their own hand. And really, truly, they tried to take the leadership from Moses. And so now here we're dealing with this. This 16th chapter. We just got through reading part of the verse 3. And we need to understand this. We need to understand these things here. We need to understand. They did not have any respect for Moses' leadership. My goodness. What I said? I said, these 250 men did not have any respect for Moses' leadership. They were disrespectful of Moses and Aaron, and they failed to see the authority of the Lord. They considered the matter a personal problem, as if there were no authority among God's people. You see, they when I say it took it personal, they put Moses on the level of themselves. What do you mean, Reverend Gautreau? They put Moses on the same level of authority, on equality with Moses. Now, you may seem equal in being. What do you mean being? In person, as a man, one of the old sayings was, he's a man just like me. He put on his pants one leg at a time, just like me. So that was a type of saying equality. But they took a personal stance against Moses because they thought that he was speaking as a human being. And it wasn't the leading of the Lord. They thought he was making things up as he went and tried to lead them by his own wisdom, his own understanding. But as Moses said once, he said, none of these things have I done of my own mind, of my own will. And he was letting them know that I'm not trying to do this to myself. One time Moses got so upset, he said, Lord, kill me. He said, take me out of here. He said, I can't carry the burden of these people. And God recognized the frustration of Moses dealing with people that were so rebellious, and they leaned on their flesh instead of trusting the God that was in Moses. So you always keep respect for the divine leadership. What did I say? Always keep respect for divine leadership. And don't ever be disrespectful of your leader. Don't ever fail to recognize the Lord's authority in them. And never take these matters personally, Because you don't know everything that God is saying to them. And you got to trust the Lord in them and so that he can lead you in the right way. You might not understand everything that your leader say. You might not see the whole vision as plainly as you see it. But you got to trust them. And then you got to trust apostle that God has set in place at this time to help govern God's plan here upon the earth. So in their attack, they did not mention Moses' relationship with God. Notice that. And the commandment of God. They didn't mention anything that because it took it on the human level. Nevertheless, even under these serious accusations, Moses neither got angry nor lost his temper. He simply fell on his face before the Lord. Now that's the revelation that spiritual leaders have, because Moses was matured in this by now. He'd spent some time with God. This wasn't his first time. He was accused of leading them wrong. They're in the wilderness now, and Moses is trying to lead them according to God's plan, and so Moses fell on his face. The Bible said he fell on his face and interceding for them. What do you mean? Moses was interceding for the people because he recognized, Lord, they don't know what they're saying. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. And so he was on their behalf. So leadership is always standing on the ground of asking God to have mercy upon our misunderstanding and our weaknesses of immaturity when it comes to leadership. Because God doesn't lack rebellion. And spiritual leader doesn't lack rebellion. And so God had to make some things, some correction here. And Moses had to separate himself and not take this thing on a human standpoint. But he knew that this was a spiritual matter. Moses did not argue with them. Moses did not try to defend his position of authority, because Moses knew that this was between they and him. Moses knew this was between they and God. And so Moses separated himself. He didn't want them to see his flesh side. And one time he did show his flesh side. And that what kept him out of the promised land. And that what kept him out of the inheritance, because he showed his human side when he should have been showing God's viewpoint and how God felt toward the people. And so as spiritual leaders, you can't ever allow people that are following to bring you out into the natural side. And you have to always stay on the inside. You always have to stay where God is, and always have to realize that they're not warring against you. They're warring against God himself, even though they don't recognize him. And your job is to intercede, Lord, don't judge them according to their flesh. Have mercy upon them. Give them eyes to see. Give them ears to hear. Give them a heart to understand what is being said and what is being done, that this is not coming from me, that it's coming from you, Lord. And that's a cry of spiritual leadership that understand what God is doing, and they're only a mouthpiece for God. And God has to do the judging, and God has to do the correcting. Woe unto them that try to do and defend themselves against the people, because you can find yourself out of the will of God. So Moses had to fall on his face before the Lord. Now, since authority belonged to the Lord, he would not use any authority nor do anything for himself. He told Korah and his company to wait until the next morning, when the Lord would show who was his and who was holy. You see, now, if you watch these scriptures, read these scriptures for yourself. Go through them and see what God had to do with Moses and the wisdom that God had to give Moses. See, you got to remember that everything that Moses did, he got instruction from God. It may not say it word by word that the Lord said this to Moses, and the Lord said that to Moses. But we're going to find out that all Moses' response came from the Lord. God gave him divine leading in everything he did. So Moses told the people, let's wait until tomorrow and see who is the Lord. In other words, let the Lord do the judging here. I'm not going to judge this thing. And so he had to separate himself from the people because they had to recognize the God in Moses. They had to recognize that if they ever was going to get to the promised land, they had to recognize that it wasn't a man leading them. They had to recognize that God Almighty, Jehovah, was leading them to the promised land. That they had to recognize that this whole plan, and Moses had to keep rehearsing over and over again, how God divided the Red Sea for them, how God did all the miracles before Pharaoh, and how God delivered them with a strong hand out of Egypt, and how God opened up the Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh's army. Moses had to keep rehearsing, let them know, I can't do none of this. I'm just a human being, just like you, but I'm not doing this on my own. And so he had to give them the revelation of it. And so apostle, even I hear apostles talk a lot of time, and he let them know, man, you see, these 600 acres, he said, that's not unusual. God do this. We can't do this on our own. And so he helped people see the vision, and he keep promoting the vision that God had given him so the people can always keep their eyes on God and not on him. And so they'll know that every authority that he walked in, he walked in trying to find and following God and the best he could and with all his might, all his strength. And God always keep it before the people. And that's why it's good to keep vision before the people, to let you know that this is God's word. And so he had to deal with it. He had to deal with it. And so he had to let them know that authority belongs to the Lord. So Moses wouldn't use any of his authority. What's his authority? His authority is to try to call fire down from heaven on his own and punish the people for the evil thought. But no, he couldn't do that. Sometimes you want to call fire down. Matter of fact, one of the disciples, the people who looked like they wasn't full with Jesus, the disciples said, you want to call fire down from heaven? Jesus said, no, we don't function like that. No, we're not going to call fire down from heaven. You know, unless God wants to call fire, but God ain't told me nothing about calling no fire down from heaven. So sometimes humans want to judge things in the human way. Oh, thank God we're not God. Oh, thank God we're not judged by men, because we'll be in poor condition. If we were judged by men leadership, a lot of times there would be no mercy, class. A lot of times there would be no grace. You know, we'll throw stone for stone. But no, our loving Father always have a place of mercy. And Moses knew that. Moses knew God was full of mercy. Thank God he don't give us what we deserve. But thank God he always see fit to bring us to another level. God always wanted to bring us to another level, class. Remember that. So he told Korah and his company to wait until the next morning when the Lord would show who was his and who was holy. So let the Lord do the separating here. And so in spiritual authority, you got to let the Lord do the judging. Let him show who leading this whole redemptive move here. So he answered the wrong. He answered the wrong spirit with a right spirit. What wrong spirit? The wrong spirit that Korah did in the barn had. He answered with a right spirit. See, what Korah and his party said was based on reason. You see it? Reason and conjecture. Conjecture. That their own belief of where the things they should go. Moses, however, answered, Jehovah will show who is all his. We're talking about verse 5 now. If you go on, I'm trying to do this, but I hadn't read the whole Bible here. You see, so Jehovah will show us who are his and who is holy and who would cause him to come near unto him. Who he said gonna show him? Jehovah. God's gonna show you who's doing it. And so you won't know it mean. The question was not with Moses, but with the Lord. And that's what we're trying to show the people. The question is never with Moses. The question should never be with your spiritual leader. The question should never be with your authority. This question should always be with God. The people thought they were merely opposing Moses. Oh my goodness. And Aaron. They had not the slightest intention of being rebellious to God, for they still wish to serve God. Let me stop here. Let me stop and put a peg right here. And most people that are rebellious genuinely want to serve God. Genuinely believe that what they're saying and what they're doing is of God. Genuinely, from their heart. They have no desire to rebel against God. But they don't know that authority comes from God. It transcends from God. From God always starts with a leader. And so and it trickles down, it funnels down to those whom are following. So they had no intention. And so that's a dangerous part. Good people are sidetracked. And they're led another way because they don't know how God functions. That most people have never been taught authority. Most people always function by this word, I just say it, reasoning. They reason things, and that comes from the fall. That comes from the beginning of our first lesson. We come from the Garden of Eden. It's the principle of right and wrong. Their reasoning get in the way. The reasoning got Eve to convince Adam that we need to eat of this tree of good and evil, or the tree of knowledge. And so you got to realize, Claire. Good people can be rebellious. Yeah, but they're good. Yeah, but they're rebellious because they're not rebelling against God. They're not rebelling against you. Excuse me. They're really rebelling against God, but all they see is you. And so because of their reasoning, they're reading you right out of the equation. They have no intention of being rebellious. But nevertheless, they are, because they function in another principle. They were merely scornful of Moses and Aaron. And isn't that something? You can be scornful of your spiritual leader, and don't you know, when you're scornful of your spiritual leader, you're scornful of God himself, because God is really leading your spiritual leader. Now, listen to this statement here, Claire. Listen to this statement here, and most people, they jump the boat when they get to this point. I got a red flag by it. God and his delegated authority are inseparable. My goodness. Is that a good statement? Yeah, it's a good statement when you got a revelation. But if you got a religious mind, you say, what do you say? I say God and his delegated authority are inseparable. In other words, you see one, you see the other. You see God, you see the spiritual leader. You see the spiritual leader, you see God. When you touch the spiritual leader, you touch God. And when you touch God, you touch the spiritual leader. Well, I'm showing you, they're inseparable. God said, they become my mouth. He told Moses, you're going to be my mouth. You're going to speak through me. I'm going to speak through you. Him and Aaron. He said, Aaron going to be your mouthpiece, but I'm going to speak to you. Moses complained, but he couldn't speak good. He said, I'm going to let Aaron speak for you. So it's not possible to maintain one attitude toward God and another attitude toward Moses and Aaron. You see that? You can't have one attitude for your spiritual leader and another attitude for God. Oh, God is good, but I can't stand my pastor. Oh, God is good. I'm going to follow God. He can say what he wants, but I'm going to follow God. Well, how are you going to follow God without following spiritual leader? Well, more people, if you don't have a spiritual leader that you can't follow, you need to find you one you can. Are you with me? You need to find you one you can, because God's going to deal with you as a rebellious person if you function on this principle that we're talking about, that Korah, Dathan, Abiram are talking about. Yep. You don't want to get in error with God. You don't want to get in error with God. No one can reject God's delegated authority with one hand. Oh, underline this if you see it in your book. No one can reject God's delegated authority with one hand and receive God with the other hand. Now, class, I'm trying all my might to try to get you to see this, how important this is. You can't reject God on one hand, or you can't reject your delegated authority on one hand and uphold God with the other hand. No, God says not so. I don't know how many other ways I can say that. I tell you what, these lessons changed my life tremendously because it helped me to see the reality of serving. You don't know you're serving until you see this. You don't know the importance of serving, the importance of submission, the importance of obedience until you learn how to obey through your spiritual leader. Most people want to obey directly God. They want to obey only God directly. Most people don't want to serve another man. Most people don't want to sit under another man as a leader and to trust him to make moves for you. To trust him that he's trusting God to make decisions. Well, they had trouble with Moses because Moses would tell them go one way and they're saying, no, we're not gonna go that way. Moses sent the spies out to spy out the land. And then 2 out of 10 had a good report. The other 10 said, oh, no, we're going to die. We're going to die because these people are too big. They're giants. And yeah, we like grasshoppers before them. And as far as they're concerned, Moses was going the wrong way. So you got to have some confidence, even when it don't look like you're going the right way. You got to trust your spiritual leader. You got to trust the revelation they're bringing to you. That is of God. And you don't have to understand all of it at one time. But I tell you what, God will reveal it to you. God will show it to you. And God will prove it to you. Oh, class, I'm trying to get you seated before I close. Yeah. If they would submit themselves to the authority of Moses and Aaron, they would then be in subjection to God. You heard what I said? You can't be subjected to God if you're not submitting yourself to your spiritual leader. You say, what? You're not being subjected to God if you're not submitted to your spiritual leader. That's what we're saying. Moses, however, did not lift himself up because of the authority God had given him. He knew it. He knew he was in authority, and he wouldn't fight. You can't fight people yourself. God got to do it. God got to give them a revelation. God got to show you a revelation. Instead, Moses humbled himself under the authority of God and answered his accusers with meekness, saying, this do, take your censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire in them and put incense upon them before Jehovah tomorrow. And put incense upon them before Jehovah tomorrow, and it shall be. Being more matured, he foresaw the consequence. So he sighed, you take too much upon yourself, you sons of Levi. See me but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself and to do service of the tabernacle of Jehovah and to stand before the congregation to minister unto him. Therefore, thou and all thy company are gathered together against Jehovah. And you're going to find out. My time is about up, class. I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, the whole book, but you're going to find out. I'm trying to move through this and just deal with bits and pieces. But you're going to find out, class, that God had to destroy the whole 250 of the congregation. I tell you what, fire came down and devoured them. And then he went to Korah, Dathan and Abiram. They said, we will not come out. They didn't have enough respect to Moses to even come out of their tents, to come out before Moses. But they ended up perishing, them and their family, because they stood before Moses and stood against Moses, and they rebelled against God by rebelling against what Moses said. Class, I wish I could have go further, but my time is up. But read this whole chapter for yourself, and you're going to see how rebellious people cannot follow God without submitting to their spiritual leader. Class, you've been a good class. My time is up, and I'll see you again next week.